every night we count Sfira Yisraelim, and we count what the day is. But this coming Friday night will be the last night of the Sfira Yisraelim. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Maharil that when you count the last night, he said today's the 49 days, and that adds up to 7 weeks, and then you add on the Lamachros Shavuos. So some Achrenim say that the Maharil didn't mean, Maharil is a sefer that starts Nisan Yer Siv and goes in order. He tells you all the dinim when you say piyutim, and when you say slichas, and when you say kines, and when you do say, when you don't say, when you say abarachmen, when you say tzitkoscha. And then he says, Friday night they tell Sfir, and then he comments, and the next day it's going to be Shavuos. Doesn't necessarily mean that that's how you finish off the Sfir Simon. But some of the earlier Achrenim understood or misunderstood that that's what the Nusach should be on Friday night. When you count the last day of Sfir, because the purpose of Sfir Simon is to be Kaveh Shavuos, to make it into the Yontav of Shavuos. So you should add on the punchline on the Machros of Shavuos. The Pashto says that the Maharil never meant it. That's what some Achrenim suggest. And then there is a Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara says in Chagiga that whoever didn't bring the Oil Sriya on Shavuos, and Eretz Shavuos is only one day Yontav, there's no Yontav Shein Shavuos. Whoever didn't bring on Shavuos has Tashlum in the next 6 days after Shavuos. So the Gemara asked, how do you know that from the Chumash, that there's Tashlumen? By Sukkot, it's a whole Yontav. There's even Tashlumen on Shmini Atzeres. For Sukkot, even though Shmini Atzeres is a regular Bifne Atzma. And Pesach is a Yontav for 7 days. Of course, there's Tashlumen. But how do you know that the first 6 days following Shavuos, there's Tashlumen? So the Gemara says, we know it from the institution of Sfiras HaOmer. There's a mitzvah, the Mimni Yomer, the mitzvah, the Mimni Shavua. You learn how the Torah describes the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer in Parshas Emor. And in Parshas Re'eh, so one place it says Tisperu Hamishim Yom, you should count the days. The other place it says Shivu Shavuos Tisperuch, you should count the weeks. Isn't that a contradiction? So Gemara says no contradiction. Amar Abaya, Abaya says they're both correct. It's a mitzvah to count the days, and a mitzvah to count the weeks. So the Gemara in Chagiga has an interesting insight. The purpose of counting Sfiras HaOmer is to lead up to be Kaveh Shavuos. So we want to be Kaveh Shavuos both as a Yontav of one day and a Yontav of a whole week. So it's a Yontav of one day for Issa Malacha, you're not allowed to do Malacha. The next 6 days following Shavuos, you are permitted to do Malacha. It's a Yontav for one day for bringing, for the purpose of bringing the Karbonos on Musafim. If you don't bring the Musafim on the first day on Shavuos, of a Yom Abatul Karbonah, you missed your chance. And it's a Yontav of a week for the purpose of Tashlumen. That's how the Gemara establishes that there's Tashlumi Kol Shiva, because the purpose of Sfira Saima is to be Kaveh Shavuos, and you count Sfira Saima two parts. You count the days and you count the weeks. So we count the days to establish Shavuos as a Yantav of a day. Then you count the weeks to establish Shavuos as a Yantav of a week. Where do you find Shavuos as a Yantav of a week? Gemara says it must be for the purpose of Tashlum. That's why by some Hasidim there's a minig. They always try to avoid saying Tachnun. The Rambam writes that the obligation that there's a chayva to say tachnun, except for shchedish. Shchedish abz yantav, you don't say tachnun. But if it's not a yantav, one is obligated to say tachnun. And the minhag olam is not like the Rambam. The minhag olam is like the ga'onim quoted by the Tur, that tachnun is only a reshus, because a lot of times we leave our tachnun not only by the Hasidim, even by the non-Hasidim. We leave our tachnun a lot of times without a real. Without a real cause. You leave a tachnun on Tu B'Shvat. There's no real cause that you should leave a tachnun. It's time to remember that we have a shaychus with Eretz Yisrael. But we leave a tachnun a lot of times. So because, so that by the Hasidim, they try to chisel away the tachnun as much as possible. So many have the practice that they don't say tachnun for the 6 days following Shavuos, because of the bunch of Bisham Igdush Yikayam, there used to be tashlumin all 6 days. It's a yontav of a whole week. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, the Chok Yankiv, on the bottom of the page, in Hilchas Pesach, they have the Chok Yankiv. The Chok Yankiv quotes an opinion that if one forgot to say Shehechianu on Shavuos, on both days Shavuos, you can say Shehechianu in the next couple of days. It's a yontav of a whole week. So just like it's a yontav of a whole week for Tashlumen purposes, whoever didn't bring the Oil Sriya on Shavuos can bring the next 6 days. So it's a yontav of Shavuos for Shachyanu as well.
Is that the
final Pashto says that it's not so. Pashto says In fact, the Gemara has a machlokes. The Gemara seems to have a machlokes, but the Sfira Soimer Bizman Hazeh is the Raisa de Rabbanan, because the Pasuk says you should count Sfira Miyom Haviyachem Soim Atnufa. So the way in Shulchan Aruch, the Psak HaMukubal is that Sfira Soimer today is only Midi Rabbanan, because we didn't bring the Mincha Soimer. The only time there's a mitzvah in a Torah to count Sfira Soimer is if you actually brought the Mincha Soimer, or Chaim Soloveitchik, they quote, thought that didn't make any sense. What if one year, due to some unforeseen circumstances, they didn't bring the Mincha Soimer? So Bizman HaMikdash, that year, the Sfira Soimer is going to be the Rabbanan. So Rab Chaim thought that that's inconceivable. So he thought, Bizman HaMikdash, there was a chiv to bring Mincha Soimer. Even if Lamaisa B'Poyal Mamish, you didn't bring him, but there was an obligation to bring Mincha Soimer. So then, so that's the chiv to bring Mincha Soimer is Machayev to count Sfira. But Bizman She'en Beis HaMikdash Kaim, is there a chiv to bring Mincha Soimer? So Rab Chaim said that depends whether you say kitchel osi lover. So he said the Rambam l'shitosoi holds that the kedushas beis hamikdash is a machlekes hatanoim and a machlekes halachon ma'aseh. The Rambam and the Ravid. So the Rambam paskins that the makom hamikdash retains its kedusha even after the churbanim. So the Rambam l'shitosoi thinks that bizman hazeh there's the makom hamikdash still has kedusha. Either there's no building. Either Arabs won't let you walk over there on the Harbai, they won't let you bring any karbonis, that's honest. But since in principle the Kedushas HaMikdash is still present, so there's a chiyuv to be makriv the Mincha Soimer. So because there's a chiyuv, that's why Sfira Soimer Bizman is as derais. That's the Rambam Lishitasa holds that Kitchalosi Lava, so Sfira Soimer is derais. And the other Rishayim hold that Loi Kitchalosi Lava. The Ravid argues with the Rambam, he thinks that Loi Kitchalosi Lava. Makom HaMikdash doesn't have it, doesn't retain its Kedush. So there's no Kedush in HaMikdash, there's no obligation to bring them in Chasoimah. No obligation, so the Sfira Soimah is only the Rabban. So these are the two opinions that we're familiar with in the Gemara, where the Sfira Soimah, the Bizman HaZeh, the Raisa, the Rabban. So in the Shulchan Aruch, again, the Chok Yankov quotes from the Rabban Yeruchim. Rabban Yeruchim was the Talmud of the Rosh. They quote him in Shulchan Aruch every so often. So the Rabban Yeruchim holds a compromise shita. That Sfira Soimer Bizman HaZeh is deraisa with respect to the days, but not with respect to the weeks. What's the Bir HaDover? What's the explanation? The explanation is that the purpose of Sfira Soimer is to establish the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And the Gemara said, Chagigah, when you count the days, you establish Shavuos as a Yom Tov of a day. When you count the weeks, you establish Shavuos as a Yom Tov of a whole week. And Bizman HaZeh, the relevance of the Yom Tov for being a whole week is only for the Oilas Riyah. So if you have no Beis HaMikdash, so there is no such thing that the Shavuos is a whole week. So Bizman HaZeh, it doesn't make sense to count the weeks because it's not going to lead up to establishing Shavuos as a whole week. But Shavuos as a day that we have today. There's a Nisa Malacha for one day of Shavuos. So that's Rabbi Yeruchim's opinion. That Sfira Soimer, Bizman HaZeh is there, I say, with respect to the day, but with respect to the weeks not. So this idea that this coming Leil Shabbos, the last night of Sfira Soimer, the 49th night of Sfira Soimer, it's probably a misreading of the Pasha Pshat is that the Maril never meant it. But Samach Renim thought that that's what he said. When you finish counting the last Sfira, you say, tonight is 49 days, and that makes 7 weeks in Sfira Saima, Ula Machros or Shavuos, because the whole purpose of the Sfira Saima is to establish the day, to establish Shavuos as a Yantav, either a one-day Yantav or a whole-week Yantav, or both, one day and a whole week. So Bizman HaZeh, it's a one-day yantif. It's at least a one-day yantif. It's not a whole week yantif. Many people are going to daven early on Friday night, the whole summer. A lot of times we daven early. So the Gemara says, we learned the Gemara in Brachas, that you can say Kiddush when the sun is still shining. Tosis' opinion is that you can only fulfill a mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos, during the Zman of Tosefa Shabbos. So we assume that you're adding on Masif Mechol Al HaKodesh. The Rambam denies that there's such a thing as Tosefa Shabbos. According to the Rambam, doesn't exist. Not in the Torah, not in the Rabbanon. The only thing is Yom Kippur. But there's no Tosefis. Even if there's no obligation in the Torah, in the Rabbanon, and even if you're Masif Mechol Al HaKodesh, it's just not Chal. So how can you say Kiddush if the sun is still shining? So the Rambam says you're supposed to recite Kiddush approximately about the time when Shabbos is entering, Samach L'Knisosai, or L'Fanav Oli Achrov, either before Shabbos is about to enter, or soon after Shabbos enters. Shouldn't wait to say Kiddush on Shabbos morning and Shabbos afternoon. If you didn't say Samach L'Knisosai, then you have no choice. Then you say the Kiddush Shabbos morning and Shabbos afternoon. But preferable is it should be samach like Nisus HaShabbos, either soon before Shabbos enters or soon after Shabbos enters.
Before
Shkia or before Shkia? According to the Rambam, even before the Shkia. You can say Kiddush even before the Shkia because it's samach like Nisus HaShabbos. But we usually assume like Tosfos that it's not that you're reciting Kiddush on Erev Shabbos, Bechol. You're Mekabel Tosef and Shabbos. So you're reciting Kiddush during this man of Tosef and Shabbos. It is Shabbos and you're Yotze. So the question is, can you be Yotze Suda Shabbos during this man of Tosefos? You're Moshe Mechol Lola Kiddush. According to the Rambam, there is no Tosefos. You can't be Yotze any mitzvahs during this man of Tosefos. It doesn't exist. There is no Tosefos. But in the Shulchan Aruch, they usually assume like Tosefos, that there is an institution of Tosef and Shabbos. You have to be Moshe Mechol Lola Kiddush. So can you fulfill, so Kiddush you can fulfill during this man of Tosefos. Question is, can you fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos? So the Taisus has two opinions about this. On the opening Mishnah in Perek Arvi Psochim, it says, Le'yochel atchetech shach, on Pesach night you shouldn't eat the matzah, you shouldn't eat the meal, you shouldn't begin to say the Kiddush until Tzeis HaKochavim, even though you're Moshe Mechol Ola Kiddush, because it says, Be'erev tochel matzahs, Rochel sabosa balayl hazeh. This is also, you have to eat the Korban Pesach Balayla, and you have to eat the Matzah Balayla, and the Morah, and because everything has to be Balayla. So even if you Moshe Mechol Ola Kiddush, but it's still, it's not Laila. Alright. So Tosfos interprets the Mishnah like that. So that Tosfos, the opening Tosfos in the Perek Arvi Psochim, has two opinions. What about a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov? Can one fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos during this man of Tosefos? So because of the two opinions in Tosfos, so the Taz writes in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch that even if people when we kabbal Shabbos early, and they said Kiddush early when the sun is still shining, and when you say Kiddush, you got to have Kiddush Mamakam Suda, so you're supposed to wash right away and start the meal when the sun is still shining, but you can't finish the meal when the sun is still shining. According to the one opinion of Tosfos, you have to eat a significant amount of challah after Tzeis HaKochavim. So the Taz says, he recommends, you should be choshish for that opinion, so even if you're making Kiddush early, and So even if one is Mekabel Shabbos early, and he starts eating the meal early, but he should say some challah to eat it balayla. How much challah should he eat balayla? So in the Shulchan Aruch they have three different opinions. One opinion is kazayis. If you have a kazayis of challah, you bench. So that's called Suda Shabbos. Another opinion is, no, you have to eat a kebetza, based on the Gemara in Sukkah, that you're permitted to eat achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. You're not allowed to eat achilas keva chutz l'sukkah. How much is achilas aroi? How much is achilas keva? So the Gemara says up until a kebetza of bread is called achilas aroi. So some say Suda Shabbos should be achilas keva. So you should eat a kebetza of challah. You should save a kebetza of challah to eat it at the end of the meal after Tzeis HaKochavim. Whenever you mekabel Shabbos early, you should always have a kebetza. And others disagree. They say, no, up until and including a kebetza is achilas haroi, yes, and a kebetza is achilas keva. So they say you should eat a little bit more. So that's on this coming Friday night, Leil Shabbos, so you can call the Shabbos early. On Leil Yontif of Shavuos, we have a minig. The Rambam quotes it, and Shulchan Aruch, they have a minig, different versions of what the minig is, that since Sfira Simon says, should be Sheva Shabbos as Tmimos, so If you're going to either daven Ma'ariv too early, or you're going to say Kiddush at home too early, so that's somehow a violation of Tmimus. No one understands exactly what in the world is the violation of the Tmimus. What are you violating over here? But so such was the minig, and so some kehillas the minig is you don't begin to say Baruch Hu the first night of Shavuos. You don't begin to daven Ma'ariv to lift and say Sakochavim because you need Tmimus. In other communities, by the Yekis, so they'll daven Ma'ariv early, but when you walk home and you say Kiddush at home, you shouldn't say Kiddush at home until Tzeis HaKochavim. The Netziv in his commentary on Chumash quotes a suggestion from one of the Dayanim in Vilna that maybe it's not so much from the word Tmimus. What do you see from the word Tmimus? The Gemara understood Tmimus means a different thing. What does it have to do with not saying Kiddush until Tzeis HaKochavim? How was that Pogay and the Tmimus of the 49 days of the Sfira? So the Nesir quotes those Dayanim who said that it's based on a different phrase, that it says, Ikrosim be'etzem ayom azay mikro kodesh. Etzem ayom means not Tosefes. You should recite Kiddush not during this month of Tosefes, but rather Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh on Shavuos proper. By all the other Yomim Tovim, there is no such Gezeiros HaKosav. And Shavuos, it sounds, the Gemara never made such a drasha, but in other places the Gemara has such a drasha. The Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh says, one of those malocha on Yom Kippur, so the Gemara says, only if you eat on Yom Kippur, you do malocha on Yom Kippur. If you eat during Zman Tosefes, you do malocha during the Zman of Tosefes, no chorus. Because it says, Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh. Etzam means on the day of Kedushas Hayom itself, as opposed to the Zman of Tosefes. So that's an old minig, that the first night of Shavuos, either you don't begin to dav Marav to lift at Tzeisa Kachavim, or when you go home, you don't start... You don't start to say Kiddush at home till after Tzeis HaKachalim. Yeah, this year for Erev Shabbos the women have to bench licht before Shabbos. They can't bench licht on Shabbos. Then the first night of Yom Tov, they can't bench licht on Yom Tov. They can't bench licht on Shabbos. It's out of the question. But the Shaila is on a normal Yom Tov. So many have the practice that the women bench licht when the husband comes home from shul. And others have the insistence, Rav Soloveitchik thought, more correct is like the other poskim, that more correct is that you should be madlik neneris in advance of Yom Tov, just like you light in advance of Shabbos. We light in advance of Shabbos not only because on Shabbos it's a malacha, but rather for a more important reason. That's a very important reason. You're not allowed to light the candles on Shabbos, but a different reason, unrelated. The Novi Yeshaya says, "V'karas of the Shabbos Onig l'kedosh Hashem mechuba." There are two mitzvahs, Medivrei Kabbalah, the two mitzvahs that the Novi Yeshaya added on. Kibud v'yonik. The Rambam writes on Shabbos there are four mitzvahs: Zochav v'shamar and Kibud v'yonik. Zochav v'shamar appear in the Chumash, and Kibud v'yonik is Medivrei Kabbalah. That's in the Novi Yeshaya. So, what is Kibud and what is Onig? So, the different suggestions. How do you divide between the two? So the Vilna Gaon and the Bir Agron, the end of Hilchos Yom Tov, the Vilna Gaon says that kibud refers to all the hachanis that one does in advance of Shabbos and Yom Tov. And oneg is the pleasure that you have on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, that you eat the delicious food, that you put up the cholent on Erev Shabbos, that's kibud. You light the candle on Erev Shabbos, that's kibud. And you enjoy the food that you eat on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's oneg. You enjoy the fact that that the house is lit up, that's oneg. And then the Rambam writes regarding Hadlokas Neiris on Erev Shabbos, and he says, is both, he writes it in two different places, it's a mitzvah of kibud and the mitzvah of oneg. You have to light the candles in advance, that's kibud. Kibud means all hachanas that one does in advance. And you enjoy the fact that the house is lit up, that's oneg. And then the Rambam writes that all the four mitzvahs of Shabbos carry over to Yom Tov, the Zochav v'shamar, kibud v'yonig, everything carries over to Yom Tov. So Hadlokas Neiris shouldn't really take place on Yom Tov, even though you're permitted to light a candle from an already existing flame. Mitzad the malacha, it's permissible if you need it, you're allowed to. But more correct is that the women should light the candles on Erev Yom Tov to fulfill the kibud. There should be both kibud and oneg, and hadlokas aneiros. Then there's a big issue whether a bracha is recited or not. Tosfos has two opinions whether a bracha is recited when you light the candles on Erev Shabbos. But yes, it's so obvious. In Yiddish, the expression is you're benching licht. A benching licht, it's a dead giveaway that you're saying a bracha. That's what it means, to bench licht, to say the bracha. Tosfos didn't speak Yiddish, obviously. They didn't speak Lashon HaKodesh. And Tosfos has two opinions, whether a bracha is recited or not. So Tosfos has one opinion. Why should you say a bracha? You don't say a bracha when you take a shower. You don't say a bracha when you vacuum the rug, when you set the table and you put up the cholent, some apitom. Why should you say a bracha when you light the candles? And the Baalei HaTosfos say no, then we do say bracha. So the minhag usually is the Mechaber says that when the women bench licht, they should always, whenever you perform any mitzvah, kol mitzvahs kulam merach aleim over lasias, you should always recite the bracha immediately before you're about to perform the mitzvah. The Gemara says when you have the tefillin on your arm, you're about to tighten it, that's called over lasias. You say the bracha when you're taking the tefillin out of the tefillin zekel, that's koidim, that's over the over, that's way in advance. The Gemara says you have to tefillin even say mevorach aleim when the tefillin are on the arm in the right location, you're about to tighten it, that's over lasiyosim immediately before. And the Mechaber writes that the women should say the bracha. Mechaber writes when you wash until the siyadam, you should say the bracha before you wash your hands, and when the women light the candles, they should say the bracha immediately before they're about to light the candles. And the Ramah writes that the minig for many centuries was not so. that by Netilas Yadayim you say the bracha after you wash your hands before you dry your hands, because a lot of times the person just came out of the bathroom or the person just tied his shoelaces or just woke up in the morning and he's not in a position to say a bracha before he washes his hands. So the mimic developed by the Balei HaTosfos that you say the bracha on Netilas Yadayim after you wash your hands. I has to be over Lasi Yosam. So they defend the practice. They say it's a little bit over Lasi Yosam because until you dry your hands, you didn't complete the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim yet. And the same thing by Hadlokas Ne'er Shabbos. The Rambam says the minig is not like it says in Shulchan Aruch. Minig is that you say the bracha, the women say the bracha after they light the candles. Aitz lachar asiyosam, how do you defend it? So the women close their eyes and then they say the bracha. Then they open their eyes. They don't get hanoah from the neiris until after they say the bracha. So it's a little bit over asiyosam. Yeah. What motivates them? Why should they not say the bracha over asiyosam? So the Rambam says the minig is when they bench licht, that's they accept Kabbalah's Tosefes Shabbos. Whenever they're madlik neiris, they're mekabel Shabbos. If they're going to say the bracha before Ladi Nesh al Shabbos, it'll be a Kabbalah's Tosefes Shabbos. They won't be able to light the candles. So that's why the minig developed that they say the bracha after they light the candles. And the Kadega writes on the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't understand. What do you mean saying the bracha is already Kabbalah's Tosefes Shabbos? It's the bracha for the purpose of Adlokas Neiris. It doesn't make sense to him. So that's in Shulchan Aruch, that's a machlekes in Mechab ben Ramo. Chacham Avadya writes in one of his tshuvas that Rabbi Zalman Meltzer had passed away already and he met his son. And I think his son used to be connected to Yeshiva Tadarom, the RCA Yeshiva in Rehovot. And his son said when his parents came from Europe and they moved there, it's Israel. So Rabbi Zalman told his wife that now that we're moving to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yosef Kara is Mara de Asra in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in Eretz Yisrael the same time the Ramo lived in Poland. So Rabbi Zalman said, the Kolzman, we lived in Poland, so we followed the Ramo. That we said the bracha on the Tilis Yadayim after washing. We said the bracha l'hadei Nashon Shabbos after Hadlokas on theirs. Now that we're moving to Eretz Yisrael, we should follow the Mechaba. I don't think he switched over everything. Everything that followed the Mechaba, I don't think so. On these two dinim, he never liked this in the first place. He thought the Ramo, it didn't make any sense. He told the Mishnah Berurah also says about this, that if you know your hands are clean and you want to say the bracha, over Lasi Yosam, before you wash, that's perfectly okay. You don't need, you're not mechuyev to dafke to say the bracha after you wash your hands. If you know your hands are clean, you don't need the whole practice with the justification. Just say the bracha, over Lasi Yosam, Mishnah. The meaning is that we, not that we insist on saying the bracha, the meaning is we allow you to say the bracha after. But we certainly allow you to say the bracha before.
Ala tefila is another case. Ala tefila.
Ala tefila? I don't know. He doesn't quote what he said about that. Chacham Avadya writes that Rabbi Zalman passed away, he couldn't hear it from him in person. He only quotes about Hadlokas HaNeiros. But Rav Amital's son told me that he heard from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that at that time when Rabbi Zalman came to Eretz Yisrael, he told his wife, we're going to say the bracha before Hadlokas HaNeiros. He said the same regarding the Tilis Yadayim. I don't know what he said about going to the mikveh. That I don't know.
The meaning is to say afterwards now.
Yeah. But that some Rishonim say that says in the Gemara. That's Machlokes how to read the Gemara. The Rambam says the Gemara only goes on Tefillas Ager. Because Akat Gav Lo Chazi, he's not Jewish. How can he say Kiddushanim and Mitzvah of Tzivana before he's Tevil on the Mikveh? But any other person who's gone to the Mikveh should say the Brocha before he's Tevil on the Mikveh. And other Rishonim say no, it goes on any Tomei who's Tevil. I don't know what his practice was over there. So on Shabbos we know the practice is that number one, we do recite a bracha. Other Balatai say you don't say a bracha. You don't say a bracha in all the other hachanas. But this hachana, we follow this opinion that says we do say a bracha. And number two, the meaning for many generations was that the Ashkenazim say the bracha la'achar ha'hadloka, after they light the candles. This is Prisha. There's a hakdama to the Prisha on Shulchan Aruch. On the tour. So the son of the Prisha writes about his mother. Everybody knew my father was a great Talmud Chacham. My father wrote the Sman, the Prisha. He says his mother was a big learned woman and he says his mother had certain dikdukim. So one of them was that on Shabbos there's an explanation why you say the bracha after after the hadlaka, because even say the bracha before the Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos, you won't be allowed to light the candles, but on Yom Tov you are allowed to light the candles. So the Prisha's, Mrs. Prisha came up with this chiddush, that when you're lighting the candles for Yom Tov, you should say the bracha first, and then you light the candles. So Magen Avraham quotes this in Hilchos Shabbos, and he says the women should stick to sewing and cooking. He said they should leave the Shabbos to the Rabbanim, and it's not so. But the Minhag Olam is like Mrs. Prisha. Minhag Olam is not like the Magen Avraham. Minhag Olam is that the women on Yom Tov, they say the bracha before they light the candles, like Mrs. Prisha said. Chacham Avadya quotes that there were communities, Sephardic communities, minority of communities, that would say a bracha on Hadlokas Neiris on Shabbos, but they wouldn't say a bracha on Hadlokas Neiris on Yom Tov. And he's breaking his head to try to understand why the distinction. Why should you distinguish between? So according to the historians, it's very easy to understand why. Tosfos was trying to figure out, Manishtana, why is Hadlokas HaNeiris different from all the other achonis when you vacuum in the rug and when you set the table and when you put up the shul and when you take a shower? You don't say a bracha, so why do you say a bracha in connection with Hadlokas HaNeiris? So Tosfos gives a whole explanation, justification. Why they singled out only Hadlokas HaNeiris? So in the history books, they say not like Tosfos. They suggest that we don't have any early sources for this. Tosfos quotes as if it says it in the Talmud Yerushalmi. There is no Yerushalmi that says like that. So they're not sure. They say sometimes Tosfos says Yerushalmi, they mean some outside source other than the Bavli. So maybe Tosfos means Tshuvas HaGoyim, but the history books, they suggest that maybe the bracha on Hadlokas Neiris Shabbos was instituted in the days of the Goyim because they were fighting the Karoim. And the Karoim insisted, Lo Sevaresh B'chol Mashrezech B'yayim HaShabbos, you're not allowed to leave any lights on in your home on Shabbos. You're not allowed to have any fires on. So on Friday night, the food was warm because they warmed it up on Erev Shabbos. Even though they turned out the fire before Shabbos began, but the food was still warm. On Shabbos morning, they never had any warm food. So that's why raw makpid, you have to have davka chamin b'Shabbos to demonstrate that you're not from the Karoim. And because the Karoim insisted that it's an avera to leave any lights on in the house, so the Goyim said, not only are we going to light candles on Shabbos, we're going to say a bracha also, l'hosim u'liv m'shala Karoim. So we say like that, that the whole bracha of l'hadlik ner shel Shabbos was instituted in the days of the Gaonim. That's the earliest sources we have, is in the days of the Gaonim. L'hotzi mili m'shalach ha'raim. So then it only applies to Shabbos. It doesn't apply to Yom Tov. Yom Tov, even the Karaites would leave on the lights. It says, Lo Sevaresh Muhammad Shazechem, only B'yom HaShabbos. Yom Tov, they would also have lights. Only Shabbos, they had this bug. So that explains why there were communities where they had such a practice. They only said the bracha of Hadlokas HaNeiris on Erev Shabbos and on Erev Yom Tov, they wouldn't say a bracha. Our meaning is that we do say a bracha both for Shabbos and for Yom Tov. And more correct is, this year Yom Tov falls out on Motzei Shabbos. They can't light Mibod Yom. Mibod Yom is Shabbos, you have no choice. But in a normal year, the more correct practice should be to be Madlik the Neiris before Yom Tov enters. Not to wait till the husband comes home, not to wait till Leil Yom Tov. Should light the Mibod Yom. Many women have the practice.
Didn't the ancient Sephardim also say you should light later?
I don't think so. I don't remember. I don't think that was the other thing. No, Shach Yonah, many women have the practice that when they light Neiris Yom Tov, they say Shach Yonah. So Rabbi Kiva Eger on the bottom of the page refers to Rabbi Yankov Emden Zatshuva. Rabbi Yankov Emden quotes the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem on the base. Gemara says Shach Yonah Amar Afila Bashuk. Shach Yonah, you can say even when you're walking in the street on Yom Tov. That's on Yom Kippur we say Shach Yonah not over a cup of wine. After Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur night, the Chazan gets up, he says Shach Yonah. Everybody says Shach Yonah, not over a cup of wine. So the Gemara says, strictly speaking, Shach Yonah on Yom Tov can be recited any time in the day, but we choose to recite it over the Kiddush to enhance the significance of the bracha. We make it into a bracha ala kos. So that's what Rabbi Yankov Emden says, that the women who choose to say Shach Yonah b'shas Hadlokas HaNeiris, it's okay, it's permissible, Shachyanu Amar Afila Bashuk, you can do it, but why should they cheat themselves? Why should they be Yotzin the Shachyanu? Shalo Alakos, they should wait. The husband could also say Shachyanu in Shul. But the men choose not to do that. We chose, the Gemara said, we chose to be Mesad Shachyanu Alakos to enhance the Cheshivas of the Bracha. So the women should also do the same. Why should the women say Shachyanu when they benched it? It's not right. Amatzoi Shabbos, Amatzoi Yant, we always say Baruch Amal Demikodesh Lecho. When you have, let's say, Yontif is Chal on Erev Shabbos, you don't say Havdalah. You only say Havdalah when you're going down. When today has Kedusha, and you're going to Chol, or you're going to Less Kodesh. So this year, because Erev Yontif is Shabbos, Shabbos has a higher level of Kedusha, Yontif has a lower level of Kedusha, so you're going from Kodesh Chomer to Kodesh Kal. So Matzoi Shabbos, you say Yaknaz, you say both Kiddush and Havdalah. You say Havdalah, you say Hamavda Ben Kodesh Le Kodesh. We're learning Chulin, so we learned the Mishnah at the end of the first parak. There was one Tana who says Hamavda Ben Kodesh Chomer Le Kodesh Kal. We don't say that, we just Hamavda Ben Kodesh Le Kodesh. It's interesting, the Avudram, the theme of the Sefer Avudram is that all the brachas and all the tefillas in the Siddur are all based on biblical Hebrew, based on biblical expression. So he gives you always the mocker in Tanakh where this expression appears. So he says, where is the mocker to have Hamavdim Mekodesh Lekodesh? So he says, it says you should have a parochas that separates between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the rest of the Hechel. V'vdila parochas lachem en HaKodesh v'en Kodesh HaKadoshim. So there is such a concept in biblical Hebrew of Hamavdim Mekodesh Lekodesh. It's important. We shouldn't just divide the world into Kodesh and Chol. Within Kodesh Gufa, there are different madrigas. There are some mitzvahs that are more important than other mitzvahs. If you have a conflict and you can't fulfill all the mitzvahs, you only have the chance to fulfill one mitzvah. So which one is more important than which? So the Gemara has discussions, which the Gemara says, Tefillin have more Kedusha, Tefillin Shal Rosh have more Kedusha than Tefillin Shal Yad. Tefillin Shal Yad have more Kedusha than Mezuzah, because it has more parshas in it. So in Kodesh Gufa, they're different levels. And a person has to know that not everything is on the same level. Some things are Kodesh Chomer, and some things are Kodesh Kal. Alel Yontif, there's a mitzvah of Simcha. So because of the mitzvah of Simcha, the Gemara says, V'dan shabis amigdush ha'yikai men simcha le'bishlomim. Gemara in Psochem. There's no Beis Hamikdash, there's no Shlomim, so ain't Simcha LeBiyayin. So what does that mean? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Machlokes Achronim at the end of Chelek Hei. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a Machlokes Achronim. So the popular pshat is that Bizman Shah Beis Hamikdash Ayakayim ain't Simcha LeBishlomim, everybody has to eat Karban Shlomim. Bizman Azed, there's no Shlomim, so it's not enough to have Basa, you need Basa V'yayin. But it's not enough to have Yayin either, you have to have Basa V'yayin. That's assumed to be the pshat. You need bus of the yayin. And then you look in Yerideya, on the first page in Yerideya, so there's a machlekes between the Yad Ephraim and the Yad Avram, the Meforshim on the side of the page. Are you yotze if you have chicken? On Shabbos, there is no chiev of simcha, it's just a chiev of kibbut v'yayinim. So on Shabbos, you have babur mislav adogim, you have chicken, you don't have to have dafke flesh. But on Yanta, because there's a chiev simcha, so some achrenim hold, you're not yotze with chicken, you have to dafke have flesh. Unless you have, health reasons, you have a diet restriction, can't eat flesh, okay. Now we have to get sick over Simchas Yontif. But you're supposed to have Basar V'yayin. That's what's usually assumed. So the Mishnah Berurah comes up with his Chiddush. He thinks that Rov HaPoskim don't agree. He thinks that they read the Gemara wrong. That Rov HaPoskim hold the Bizman Shabbos Megdush HaYikayim and Simcha LeBishlamim. Bizman Hazeh, there's no Shlamim, so forget about the flesh, ignore it, and Simcha LeBiyayin. The main thing is the yayin, and you don't have to have fleishiks at all. You should have fleishiks if you enjoy on Shabbos and no chiyuv simcha either. But you still have bar mur mislah, you have chicken, you have a bekovadikim meal. That's kibud v'yayinik, that's einik. So whatever one would enjoy on Shabbos, he can have on Yontif also. It doesn't necessarily have to be basa, but it should be yayin. People usually do fakert. People usually have the basa, they don't have the yayin. So the Mishnah Berurah thinks that the basa is irrelevant. Bizman is that the main thing is really the yayin. On Yontif, the pasuk says, "V'yom simchascha v'madech merosh yachad shechem, uskaitem b'chatzotzes alolasechem alziv cheshamechem Miniskartim lefnei Hashem alakechem. On Yom Tovim and on Rosh Chodeshim, Yasim Chaz Madechem Rosh Chodeshim. On Shabbos, not the simple reading of the Mishnayos and Erchin on Shabbos. You didn't have this mitzvah. And only on Yom Tovim and on Rosh Chodeshim, there's an inyan of Simcha. So in addition to whatever other musical instruments the Levim would play when they would do the Nisach Hayayin and Shira Ela, Yomim Shira Ela Layayin, when the Quran would be doing Nisach Hayayin, the Levim would be singing Shira and playing the music. So in addition to whatever other musical instruments they use, they would have Chatzotzos as well. And the pasuk says that the role of the chatzotzos was v'niskartem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. We should be remembered in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the whole nusach of Yalav V'yava is based on. How come we only say Yalav V'yava on Yontef and Rosh Chodesh? You don't say Yalav V'yava on Shabbos. The answer is, on Shabbos there is no mitzvah of tkiyas chatzotzos, so you don't have this in you of v'niskartem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. But on Yontef it says v'adechem Rosh Hashem miskartem chatzotzos v'niskartem. But that's why we say Yalav V'yava. That's what the Mefarshim on the Siddur explain. Then on Yom Tov there's an inyan of v'niskartem. The second night of Shavuos is a question. Second night, second day, Yom Tov Shavuos is Sveka D'Yomer. So everything that we do on the first day, we do on the second day. So what about this inyan awaiting to daven Ma'ariv or to say Kiddush till Tzeis HaKochavim? So the Prima Gaon quotes Knesset Hagdola. Knesset Hagdola is a likut of Achrayim on the tour in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is a likut. Yosef Karo lived in the 1500s. He has a likut of all the Rishonim and Achrayim up until his time, whatever he had available, in the order that it appears in the tour. He quotes a likut. And the Knesset HaGdola lived 100 years later, so he has a likut of all the Svarim that were not yet available to Rabbi Yosef Karo. Then you have Shiori Knesset HaGdola. Then you have the Birkei Yosef. It made different liquid. So the Prima Gaon often quotes the Knesset HaGdola. So the Knesset HaGdola thinks that everything that you observe on the first day Yom Tov, you have to repeat on the second day. So you have to wait to say Baruch Hu the second night of Shavuos till Tzeis HaKochavim, or you should wait to say Kiddush, whatever your meaning is on the first night. So the Prima Gaon takes issue with the Knesset HaGdola. He says, this whole minik to wait till Tzeis HaKochavim is only because of Tmimais. So on the first day of Shavuos, you're not counting Sphira. So what's the issue with the Tmimas? The last Sphira that we had, let's say this year, the last Sphira we're going to have is going to be Shabbos. This coming Shabbos is going to be the last day of the Sphira. We're not going to count Sphira on Sunday. So what's the issue of Tmimas on Sunday night going into Monday? There is no issue of Tmimas. According to the way that it's quoted, and others say like that, the waiting till Tzeis Kacham is not so much based on Tmimas, but rather based on the Etzem Hayom Hazeh, that reciting Kiddush across a Mikra Kodesh, Etzem Hayom Hazeh, Mikra Kodesh means reciting Kiddush, Etzem Hayom means not during the Zman of Tosefes, then it makes sense that it should carry over to the second day Shavuos as well. But that's what the Prima Gaon disagrees with the Knesset HaGdola. Knesset HaGdola thinks that you should be makpid on Tmimas even the second night of Shavuos, and the Prima Gaon thinks, genug that you makman the first night, not mechayit to be makman the second night. So in a lot of shuls, so they're going to be mekabel Yom Tov early, the second night of Shavuos, they're going to be Yom Tov early. The Maharil records, the Prima Gaon writes this also, that in the Prima Gaon was a Galician, but he lived in Germany. So he writes down, he has a little sefer where he writes all the Minhagim. So he writes that by the Yekis, the Minig is, they still have embroidery, they still have the Minig. On the second night, Yom Tov, every Yom Tov, Sheni Shavuos, is they don't begin Baruch Hu till after Tzeis HaKochavim. And the reason why is because the women may be afraid that the husbands are going to come home any minute and they're going to want to have a warm soup. So they may put up the soup on the first day Yom Tov to cook it in order that it should be ready right away when the husband comes home on the second night of Yom Tov. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to cook the food on the first day Yom Tov for the second day Yom Tov. It's a Sveka D'Yoma. So we treat the first day is really Yom Tov D'Oraisa. The second day is only Yom Tov and the Rabbanan. So you're not allowed to put up the soup to warm on the first day for the second day. So in order to make sure that none of the women will make such a mistake, so they tell the women, we're not going to begin to dav Ma'ariv till after, not going to start saying Baruch Hu till after Tzeis HaKochavim. And then they say Piyutim Tzudasu. They say Ma'arovis. They say all the Piyutim that are printed in the Siddur. So the women have a half an hour to put up the soup. So that's why they have such a meaning that every Yontav Sheni Shel Galus they don't begin to daven Maariv till after Tzeis HaKochav. But the Prima Gadim himself lived in Germany. He was a Galatan, lived in Germany. He knows that's the meaning in German, but he says, and the rest of the world, they don't have such a meaning. And they can daven Maariv early. So he says he thinks even the second night Shavuos, there's nothing wrong with davening early. Yeah, where did the meaning come from that everybody stays up all night long on Shavuos? And
if you daven early, how does that impact Lichtsinden for the second night? Will the women light early also?
Yeah, Tosis says that in Beitza, Tosis says the women can light, that's not an Issa, to light on the late in the afternoon on the first day Yontif. For the second day, that's not a problem. That doesn't pose a problem of doing Moloch on the first day for the second day. Because since it's an hour before the Shkia, it's starting, the sun is on its way to set, so that would be normal that people would put on light candles because it's already beginning to get a little dark in the apartment, in the house. So you're really lighting the candles on the first day for the first day. That's obviously for the second night. So Taisa says, that's Marba Bishurim. I put up a long candle, which is going to burn 2 hours on the first day and 3 hours on the second day. So that's permissible. If you take, the Gemara says, if you have a bit, let's say I have all of my children, I'm married, it's just me and my wife are going to be together on Yontif. When Mark takes out a piece of raw flesh, a 5-pound piece of flesh, and she puts it, she's going to cook it on Yontif. We're not going to eat 5 pounds of flesh on Yontif. Only two people are going to eat so much. So the Gemara says you don't have to cook less. If it's one piece of flesh, that's called Marbe Bishur. You have a heter to do the melacha Mishum Echol Nefesh. So you can even put up 5 pounds of flesh. You're not allowed to take 1 pound and then take another pound and then take another pound and another pound. That's a hachonet. But if you take one piece of flesh, that's 5 pounds. You put it into the pot, you put the pot on the fire, that's called Marbe Bishurim. So Marbe Bishurim is Mutter on Yontif. Marbe Bishurim is also on Shabbos. Let's say you have a chayla mesukan, and the doctors say to save the life of the chayla, someone has to pluck off an apple from the tree, and the chayla has to eat an apple that's freshly plucked from the tree. So if it's pikuach nefesh, so you're allowed to pluck it off. So the Gemara says, is it permissible to break off a branch? Let's say this: the chayla needs 2 apples. So I can break off a branch that has 2 apples, I can break off a branch that has 3 apples. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to break off the branch that has 3 apples, because Marbe Bishurim, even though just breaking off one branch, whether you cut it here, cut it there, you're breaking off one branch, but it's Marbe Bishurim, you're going to have 3 apples instead of 2. So Marbe Bishurim is also on Shabbos, B'mokim B'koch Nevesh, but Marbe Bishurim Ayyantad, B'mokim Echol Nevesh, that's Mut. So the Rishonim discuss why. Is it a difference between Shabbos versus Yontif, or is it a difference between Oichal Nefesh and Pikuach Nefesh? That's a discussion in the Rishonim. But this they all agree to. The Marbe Bishurim is Mutter on Yontif, but it's also on Shabbos. So Tosfos said the same. I can light either a small candle that will only burn for 2 hours on the first day Yontif, or I can put a long candle late in the afternoon on the first day Yontif, and the candle will burn for 5 hours, 2 hours on the first day Yontif, 3 hours on the second day Yontif. So that's Marbe Bishur, so that's Mutter.
And you're making the bracha in advance.
Even though I'm saying a bracha and I'm demonstrating, right, and it's clear and obvious that it's for tonight, for the second day, but it's also for now. So Taisa says, I'm doing the malacha for now and for later. So usually you're not allowed to do a malacha on Yontif for the second day, but here it's a B'toras Marbe Bishurim. You're doing it the first day for the first day, and also for the second day.
And the food that you're cooking early, and you're not going to get to it till later.
So that's a problem that you shouldn't do. You should never serve bein hashmashes. If you're going to put the food on bein hashmashes, let's say sometimes the children eat early and they go to sleep early, so you shouldn't feed them. The achrenim say you shouldn't feed them bein hashmashes because you're putting the food on. Maybe that's yontif rishon. Then by the time you give it to the children, maybe that's already laila. That's yontif sheni. So you should give it, you should warm it up either way before. Let's say you want to be mekabel the second night early, so put up the food on the first day and make sure the food that you put up on the fire to warm up on the first day will be eaten on the first day before the shkia.
What is if you're machmir as if it was Shabbos and you're using a blech, so it's not a malacha, it's only a hachana. You're not really cooking. You're just taking dry chicken, putting it on, what would have been kosher blech even for Shabbos, you're doing that on Yom Tov. So you're not doing any malacha, you're only doing a hachana.
Not permitted to do hachana either. You're not permitted to set the table either on the first time. Yeah.
So
can't do any hachanas either, even if it's not a malach. Can't do hachana on the first day for the second day. That is correct. Yeah.
In the time of Tosfos, you understand that during the day you're lighting and you're using it for that day. And today, when you have these electric lights?
Today is stama problem. If you have the chandelier, it's burning, the whole room is all lit up. But does it make sense? Is it permissible to light Neiris? And that's on Friday. Is it permissible to light Neiris with the broch on Friday if the chandelier is burning? So Tosfos says, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, if it's late Friday afternoon, a regular Shabbos, late Friday afternoon, and there are lights on in the dining room, you should turn out all the lights and turn on all the lights for the Shem Shabbos, then light the candle and say the broch on everything. Yeah, but if it's Yontif, if you have 2-3 days in a row, they can't turn off all the lights. Is that permissible to say bracha la'adik neshal yontah la'adik neshal Shabbos if the whole room is all lit up already? So that's a big problem. The Pashto says that it's not permissible. You know, hadlokas on neris means you illuminate the room. But if the room is flooded with light because you have the chandeliers on, even though the candles give it a romantic atmosphere, it's more Shabbos dik and more Yontif dik, but still you're not illuminating the room. The definition of hadlokas aneris is to illuminate the room. The Gemara has a melitza, shraga b'tihara mayahani. If you light a candle at high noon, when the sun is shining, so that's not called hadlokas aner. Hadlokas aner is if it's dark in the room and you illuminate.
So on Friday night, why don't you use candles at all? Say a
bracha,
turn on the switch.
And Achinami, many hold that you can say a bracha on the electric bulb. Ramosh holds that you can't say a bracha on an electric bulb, even if it has a filament. And most assume that you can. But they try to be more traditional about it. They say more correct is you should be madlik on a candle with an actual flame. Ramosh holds, even if you get stuck, you can't say a bracha on an electric bulb. The Zameka, if you have no brayer, if you're in the hospital, they don't let you light the candles, so you say the broch and the hadlik on the electric pole.
The LED is a problem because it doesn't depend on the heat.
Right, LED is a problem, or fluorescent is a problem, because there is no filament that's glowing, right? So that's what the Reb Shlomo Zalman and others say. You cannot say that, even if you hold that, you may say a bracha La'adik neshal Shabbos neshal yontif on an electric bulb, but not on LED, and not on fluorescent. That is correct.
That would be the same thing with Bar Mareish.
Probably, yeah. Rab Chaim Moser, Rab Soloveitchik said, he remembered Rab Chaim Moser would be mahadir to say Bar Mareish on the electric bulb, because he was in disagreement with the Maharsham. The Maharsham was of the opinion that turning on lights on Shabbos is only an Issa Derabbanan. It's not a melacha deraisa, because it didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan. All the melachas are derived from what was important, what was an important activity in Asiyas HaMishkan. So whatever activities were important in Asiyas HaMishkan are obvious, whatever existed in the days of the Mishkan but wasn't actually involved in Asiyas HaMishkan is only a tolda. So the Maharsham had a chiddush, since electric bulbs didn't exist in the day, the physics did exist. But the Pile Mamas, they weren't electric bulbs. So since they weren't electric bulbs, it can't be a malacha derais. Rab Chaim Moser held that didn't make any sense. It's still a tolda. Even if it didn't exist in the days of Mishkan, it's still a tolda. So demonstrate that he disagrees with the Maharsham, and he holds that turning on an electric bulb on Shabbos is a malacha derais. So he would say Bar Mi'aresh on an electric bulb. That's what Rab Soloveitchik said. He remembers that. I'll just quote Rab Chaim also used to do that. Rab Soloveitchik never told us that. He said Rab Chaim Moser. But they quote the Rab Chaim Soloveitchik also would say, he held, he can say, Bar Mi'aresh on electric bulb. It's mamish considered Eish. The minhag to stay. Only if you have a filament, yeah. And for Havdalah, Bar Mi'aresh Eish by Havdalah, it's not enough if it has a filament. It has to be a clear bulb. If it's frosted, or if it's not frosted, but it's covered with a shade, what do you call the top of the lamp? Lampshade. No? If you don't see here, I see the filament glowing. I think it's actually the filament. So you can say a bracha. But if I'm going to say Be'ar Me'ha'esh like this, the Gemara says it's no good. You can only say Be'ar Me'ha'esh if you see the Eish Mamish. So if you have a frosted bulb, you don't see. Or if, I remember in Broyas, the Chazan always says Kiddush and Avdolah in Shul, except for Pesach night. So they always, when you have Yantav, next to Shabbos, so they always would have a bulb next to the Amud where the Chazan stands. So when he would say Bar Mi'arish and Abdullah, he would be able to look at his fingers by the bulb. So Rabbi Breuer, towards the end of his life, lost his eyesight. He died at the age of 98. So he became a Sagino years before he passed away. So when he couldn't see anymore, they switched the bulb. That's when they started making frosted bulbs. And they switched the bulb, and it was a frosted bulb. So someone brought it to his attention. Can you say Bar Mi'arish, the frosted bulb? So he didn't understand, what is a frosted bulb? Never heard of it. So they had explained to him, what do I say? He said, no, that's not good. The Gemara said, you have to be able to see the filament. If you can't see it, if it's frosted, technish. They switched it because he wasn't able to see. Rabbi Schwab stood on there. Rabbi Schwab didn't stand next to the Chazan. He didn't see that they switched it either. No one was watching. By Havdalah, it is a problem, because if you just light a candle, the covered the alma, then you can't say Bar Mi'arish. It has to be a candle that was lit l'ho'ir to illuminate. So that's why many makbid, that you turn out all the lights by Havdalah, and you only have this light on. But if you have the whole chandelier is on and they're all fluorescent or something, and then you have a little candle, that's very questionable whether you can say Bar Mi'arish. It has to be the candle. If the whole house is lit up and you have a little candle, that's only the covered Be'ama. You can't really say that the candle is L'Hot here.
Lights are incandescent, not frosted. Is that negative?
Yeah, then you can say on the bulb itself, yeah. Then it's not a problem. They write in the biography of Rabbi Chana Wasserman that he was once traveling in England to raise money. So he stayed over Shabbos by a Chassidish of Balabas. And on Motzoi Shabbos, he was going to say Havdalah, and he had all the lights on. So Rabbi Chanan said that by us in the yeshiva, when we say Havdalah, we turn off all the lights. So Balabas said, and by us we don't. He didn't get the hint. Rabbi Chanan meant to say, please turn off the lights. But he said, Balashin Kav, he said, by us in the yeshiva, say, so we don't. Yeah, that's more correct. The Nair should be Lahayr. If it's only the covered biyama, he can't say Bar Mi'arish. The meaning that many have, that they stay up all night into the night, and you learn, this started from the Beis Yosef. He lived in the 1500s, he lived in Tzfat, but before he came, originally he came from Europe, so when he was still in Europe, one night on Shavuos, he made up, he's going to learn with Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, the one who composed the Lecha Doidi. Yeah, so he was apparently very big in Kabbalah. So they were learning together. So in the middle of the learning on Leil Shavuos, all of a sudden Rabbi Yosef Karo lost his voice, and a voice was speaking from his throat, and that was the Magid. Epis HaMalach. He had some kind of a Malach who was, it wasn't his voice. The Malach was a Magid of the Mishnah. There were other Gedolim in the generation also had Magidim, but they had, I don't know what the words mean. Rabbi Yosef typed out Pesach. There were three Gedolim in the same generation, all with the same name, Yosef. And in Hashemayim, that's how the Mekubalim said, they were deciding which one is going to write a major work that's going to be guiding the Jewish people for centuries. So it was chosen in Hashemayim that it's going to be Rabbi Yosef Karo. So this Rabbi Yosef typed out Pesach, who was a contemporary also, but he lived in Constantinople. So he had also a Magid, but his Magid was a lower level Magid. His Magid was the Magid of the Torah Shebichsav, of the Tanakh. That's a lower level Magid. I don't know why. And Rabbi Yosef Kara's Magid was the Magid of the Mishnah, which is a high level. I don't know what the words mean, but that's what they say. So that's when this minig began, that people stay up a whole night. The Prima Godim writes an interesting thing, that the minig used to be that at the beginning of the night, everybody stayed up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and then the older people went to sleep. And it came time to Daven Shacharis, you only had young people there. The young kids wanted to stay up all night as shtick. And some of the people were older people. So the shaila he raises is that the Beis Yosef in Hilchas Yontif Pesach quotes the Ramban al HaTorah that Tefillah B'Tzibur is a din deraisa on Shabbos and Yontif. The Ramban learns that that's what the phrase Mikra Kodesh means. Mikra is in Miloshin Krui Hoedo. Krui Hoedo means those who were gathered together to represent the Tzibur. So Mikra Kodesh means a day of holy assemblage. We should gather together on Shabbos and Yom Tov to daven Tefillah B'Tzibur, to have Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, and to have Shiurim in public. The rabbi should give a drasha Sachacham. He should say over Halachas. You have to have Tefillah B'Tzibur and Talmud Torah B'Tzibur. That's even though we assume that Kriyas HaTorah is usually the Rabbanan, but the Ritva in Megillah writes with this Ramban in mind that Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur on Shabbos Yom Tov is deraisa. That's what it means. That's included in Mikra Kodesh. So the Prima Godim points out that the Magen Avraham writes in one place with these, based on the Gemara, with these, a child only becomes bar mitzvah if you have Shana V'Simon. It has to be after the 13th birthday. He has to have Shtei Sarvis growing on his Eva Ho'erva. So every time you want to make a minion, you're going to check to see if he has Shtei Sarvis. So the Gemara says, "Benigeh to dinim derabbanu." We assume that kol shegil echlal shanim, hegil echlal siman. If the girl is 12 years old and the boy is 13 years old, we assume they probably have shtei saris. You don't have to check. But if you want him to do a chalitza, he's the surviving brother. He should do chalitza. You want him to sign a get. Benigeh the real issue deraisa. So then you have to check to make sure that you shouldn't rely on the chazoke that kol shederub edaleisa kamon. That probably whoever reached the Shanim, 13 years old, probably Hashtei Cyrus, you have to check to make sure. So there are two versions of what the Magen Avraham said. Did he only mean it at the Gemara? The Gemara says like that. The Gemara neither, you have to check. The Gemara only means it when it gets to Inyone Arayas for Chalitza, for Dovish Abiyarva, for Chalitza, and for signing a get. That's a Din Darais, and it's a Dovish Abiyarva, a very serious issue. But they say with respect to all dinim deraisa. So one version in the Magen Avraham is with respect to all dinim deraisa, you have to check to be bedik. So the Prima Godim raises an issue that when you daven shachris Shavuos morning, a lot of times you have a minyan of kids who are just barely bar mitzvah. They just made it, but they were just bar mitzvah in the last half a year. So you don't know if they have shtei sarvis, and he assumes that tefillah b'tzibur is deraisa on Yom Tov means every single tefillah should be tefillah b'tzibur. Nish Ginuk, everybody davened together. Ma'ariv last night. He didn't stop Baruch until after Tzeis of Kohanim. So we all daven Ma'ariv. That's not enough. Not enough that we daven. Not enough that there's going to be a big minyan in the shul later. At 8:30, there's going to be the big minyan. So the community is going to have tefillah b'tzibur. No, it's not a chayvus hatzibur to organize that there should be a tefillah b'tzibur. Every yochid has to see to it that every tefillah they daven on Yom Tov should be a tefillah b'tzibur. Wow. Quite a chumrah. So he raises an issue that maybe you have to be baidik the simanim, or maybe you have to have people who are vaday bar mitzvah to fulfill this din deraisa of tefillah v'tzibur on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Quite a chumrah. He says also many had the practice. There's a Mishnah Megillah. Halosa Shachar is an hour and a half before sunrise, around an hour and a half before. So Mikir Adin after Halosa Shachar is Yom. So the Yevet, if a person said Halal, or he did a bris, any shook a lulav, you heard Kir Shofar. So if you do it after Alos HaShachar b'Yevet, it's a Betul Chatchila, you shouldn't say Halal, and you shouldn't shake a lulav, you shouldn't do a bris, and you shouldn't hear Kir Shofar till after Hanetzach Hama, till after the sun rise. Unless you have a big Shas HaTchak. So the Shas HaTchak we allow Lachatchila, which usually is only good b'Yevet. Shas HaTchak at Yevet Dom. So the Shaila was on Shavuos, Leil Shavuos, everybody stayed up all night long and they're exhausted and they want to daven already Shachris and go to sleep, take a nap before the wife is going to daven by the second minion, but by the 8:30 minion, then they want to be awake for Kiddush and for the meal. So is there room to be makel to daven and to say Halal before Hanetz Achama? Is that called the Shas HaTchak? Who told you to stay up all night long? So go to sleep. What's the Shas HaTchak? But some Achrayim have like that. They have a minik to stay up, and then they're exhausted, so they want to daven already. So that's a Shas HaTchak. So many are makel that you're permitted to say the halal on Shavuos before Hanetz HaChama because Shas HaTchak we are makel. It's very questionable. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we make Psukah Zimmer much longer. That's based on the passage in the Zohar, and the Gemara never says That's based on the passage in the Zohar. And the Zohar says you should only have the longer Pesukah de Zimra on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You don't have it on Chanukah and Purim, you don't have it on Rosh Chodesh. So that's why it doesn't make sense that there are people in Eretz Yisrael, the people in America, that they say the long Pesukah de Zimra on Yom HaAtzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. It doesn't fit in. Yom HaAtzmaut, you want to celebrate like Chanukah and Purim, like the Yom Tov Megillas Tainus. But the Yom Tov Megillas Tainus, you don't say the long Pesukah de Zimra. You don't say the long. And Hashanah Rabbah, no, Hashanah Rabbah is a Chol HaMoed, is a Yom Tov. That's not so bad. But Yom HaAtzmaut, it doesn't really make sense. So the Chayyadim quotes from the Vilna Gaon that you have a bracha before and a bracha after. You have Baruch Shem and you have Yishtabach. And we all know, we were taught when we were little children in elementary school, that if you come late to shul, then you have to bridge. So you say Baruch Shem, Ashrei, and Yishtabach. So the Chayyadim quotes from the Vilna Gaon, if it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can't bridge it like that. You have to say Baruch Shem, Ashrei, and you have to say Nishmas Kol Chai and Yishtabach, because the bracha begins with Nishmas Kol Chai. The minig is that the chazan takes over by Hamelach or by Hakel or by Shorchenad, but that's really in the middle of a bracha. Other tzaddikim, other chassidish rebbes had a practice that when they were going to daven shachris, they would start from Nishmas Kol Chai. They would say the whole Nishmas Kol Chai out loud, or even if they wouldn't say the whole thing out loud, but they would take over the omid from Nishmas Kol Chai, because you don't switch in the middle of a bracha. It doesn't make sense in the middle of a bracha. My father remembered. My father learned in Vizhnitz in Europe, so he remembered the Nigan that the Vizhnitz the Rebbe would sing. I think he said every Shabbos he would daven from home. So he said he had a beautiful Nigan. He started from the beginning, the Shmas Kol Chai, the whole, every syllable he would say out loud.
Should it just stand by Nishmas then? You couldn't stand by Yishtabach.
Yeah, Rav Soloveitchik used to stand by Nishmas, yeah. He had the whole school, not only, I thought maybe because he had a bad back. So sitting, standing up and sitting down. He used to wear a brace on his back. But they told me he insisted all the students should stand also. For that reason, he said, Nishmas Kol Chai is the beginning of the bracha of Yishtabach. And we're going to stand for Yishtabach. So you should stand for Nishmas Kol Chai. On the second day, Yom Tov, last day Yom Tov, the minhag is in Chutzlos that we say Yisker, those who have no parents, you say Yisker. So some people think that Yisker is the sad note on Yom Tov, that you're observing a little Avelis, you're not permitted to observe any Avelis on Yom Tov. Yisker is recited out of Simchas Yom Tov. The Rambam says the one who eats and drinks and he makes merry, that's what he calls Simchas HaKeres. You made your belly happy. The real Simchas is Simachta Ata Ba'alevi Ve'ageh Ve'yos Ha'mona Hashem B'sharecha. You have to be Mishamechas Ha'umlolim. You have to cheer up those who are less fortunate than you. You have to give tzedakah. So that's what Yisker is all about. We're pledging to give tzedakah. And then we say, in the schus of giving tzedakah, we were raised by our parents, our grandparents, and they taught us to give tzedakah. So the schus of giving tzedakah should be farechen for our parents. But it starts off as an inyan of Simchas Yom Tov. It's not at all an inyan of Avelus. Okay? Many have the minig, the kids of Shulchan Aruch mentioned, many have the minig that they light a yahrzeit candle on the day on which you say Yisker. Achraim said, the meaning is you say Yisker on the day that you learn Kriyas HaTorah, Ishkin Matnas Yoda, Kibir Kasa Shem Lekech Hashanah Samlach. See, putting on tefillin and blowing Tekir Shofar, everybody does it the same. Whether you're poor or you're wealthy, whether you're big Talmid Chacham or playing balabas, everybody does exactly the same. But Tzedakah is one of the things, Ishkin Matnas Yoda, the wealthy people have to give more, the poor people give less. So the day on which you say Yilein Kriyas HaTorah Ish Kimat Ansiyadai, you talk about giving tzedakah. That's the day on which you say the Yisker, because the whole Iker of the Yisker is to mention that you're pledging to give to give the tzedakah.
What's the meaning with your side candles? I've heard some people say they only do it because it's a Eishel Surah.
Right. So the kids of Shulchan Aruch quote such a minig that people like the day on which they're going to recite Yisker to memorialize their parents, and they light a yahrzeit candle. So he quotes those who hold that that's a ner shalav tova. Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi, you're not allowed to light a candle on Yom Tov shelo tzarech klal. You're permitted to do malachas on Yom Tov if it's tzarech achol nefesh, tzarech hayom ktzas, something. But what's over here, the tzarech? So they say, no, it's a big tzarech, you want to fulfill kibbut aviyem. So the kids in Shulchan says, you can make a kibbut aviyem, give a donation. It's a bigger mitzvah. Why should you light a candle? Give a $10 donation, $100 donation, a bigger mitzvah than lighting a candle. So that's very questionable whether that's right. To light, so some people are want to satisfy both, so they take they sell in the stores a shiva lamp, and now in some stores they sell a 2-day lamp. So you have 2 days or 3 days in a row, so you have a lamp that only burns for 3 days. You light it on Erev Shabbos and it's going to burn through the second day Shavuos. No. You can give a $25 donation. It's a big kibbutz. Give a $100 donation. A big kibbutz. The Gemara has a din that Yom Tov is different from Shabbos. Yom Tov, you're not permitted to invite Nochrim to eat by you. Sometimes you have a person is in the process of converting. And he wants to see what Shabbos and Yom Tov looks like. So he wants to eat at the home of a religious person to see how you keep Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to invite them on Yom Tov. He may ask for another cup of tea, another bowl of soup, and you're going to reheat it. So doing a malacha the tzarach and nochri, you're not allowed to. The pasuk says, "Achas yachol chol nefesh ulevad the yasa lachem." The Gemara says, "Lachem below the klovim, lachem below the akum." You're not allowed to do a malacha for the akum. So even a shaila, if you have a ben eretz yisrael visiting by you, and nikar adin, they only observe Yom Tov Rishon. So are you allowed to cook food on Yom Tov Sheni to give to the ben eretz yisrael? So Rabbi Kivega has a discussion about that. So he says, look, the Akum and the Klavim don't have Yom Tov, and you need a special pasuk to say Lechem Elo LeAkum, Lechem Elo LeKlavim. So you see, as long as the person is Jewish, it is called Lechem. But then Rabbi Kivega says, but maybe that's what you learned from the pasuk. Lechem Elo LeKlavim means whenever the person on whose behalf is one who does not observing Yom Tov because he's a Kelev or he's an Akum or he's a Ben Eretz Yisrael, so maybe you're not allowed to. So he brings a right that you are allowed to. Rabbi Kivega brings a right that you are allowed to. But it's a debate. Some Achranim think that it's not right. So how do you run a hotel? So you're going to have 500 people, 1,000 people are going to have in a hotel. They check to make sure that everybody has a bris milah. Everybody's Jewish. Some are going to be some people who are not Jewish in a hotel. How can you run a hotel? So the answer is Dayan Grossnas has a tshuva about this. Others say the same. If someone's going to want an extra bowl of soup, the Jewish waiter is not going to go. Jewish waiter would tell the goyim who are running the kitchen. The whole kitchen is run by goyim. They have Jewish mashgichim to make sure there's no bishalak and make sure they don't mix up the fleshings with the milchiks. But all the cooking is done by the nochrim. So if all the cooking is done by the nochrim, that's what the poskim say, that the din of the prohibition against inviting a nochri beyond the gzeres shemiyabe b'shvila doesn't apply, because even if they're going to cook something on behalf of the goyish guest, the cooking isn't going to be done for the Jew by the Jews. It's going to be done by the nochrim.
There's a lot of yarbe in a hotel.
A lot of yarbe, yes, that is right. A lot of yarbe. On Shabbos, the Gemara says you are permitted to invite a nochrim if you have a tzorach. You are permitted, but on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, it's gzeres shemiyabe b'shvila. So you're not permitted. The Gemara says if the nochrim walked in on his own. If the Nochi walked in on his own, uninvited, so you don't have to disinvite him, you have to tell him to please leave. You tell him it's Ayantev, and we're not allowed to cook for those who are not Jewish. So whatever's on the table, you can take, and you can't ask for anything extra. So the Gemara says then you don't have to tell him to go home. But that's only if the Nochi walked in on his own. But that's not right. To invite the Nochi is not proper.
You can do that to the Sidorim sometimes. You might have the Nochi. Like, everybody. Well, even the guy in Molson, Seder, say, I want to see a Seder. I want to see
yes.
What's all about.
Yes.
So they get invited sometimes. I've known somebody who did that too. That's what I'm
saying. So it says, even if it's Mishum Shlom Malchus, even if you have a big pressure, you should avoid it. It's not right. You shouldn't invite Nochrim. Unless the whole kitchen is being run by Nochrim, then it's not a problem.
Yes, one before, if you can invite, if you cook on with an Erev Tavshil, if you have a Shabbos, Friday Shabbos Yontif, you invite him for Shabbos.
You shouldn't be allowed to invite the nochrim. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. The Ramah writes that there's a meaning that you have milchiks on Shavuos. They give different reasons why. So the Ramah says the reason why, because in the Beis Hamikdash they used to bring shtei alechem on Shavuos. So usually when you have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos Yom Tov, very often people only cut one challah, they don't cut both. And on Shavuos, we want to make a zechet to the Shtei Lechem, so we want to insist on eating a little bit from both of the challahs. If you're going to serve milchiks and then fleshiks in the same meal, so in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have forks and knives. They ate everything with their fingers. The whole world ate like that. It's a recent thing that you have forks and knives. So in the days of the Gemara, the days of the Shulchan Aruch, if you had milchiks and you used bread, you shouldn't use the leftover bread to eat it with fleshiks. It's going to be all ungeschmiert with the cheese on your fingers. So if you're having milchiks and fleshiks in the same meal, so then you have to wash your hands in between. Then you have to eat the second challah. So that's why the minhag that developed to have milchiks and fleshiks, not just to have milchiks, the milchiks and fleshiks in the same meal and wash your hands in between, to make a zecher to shtei alechem. So that's a question. The Zohar and the Shulchan Aruch, they quote in Yeruday, Hilchas Basa B'chala, I think it's in Pei Tes, they quote the Zohar that it's not proper to eat milchiks and fleshiks in the same meal. So the question is, you have milchiks on Shavuos, then you're going to bench, then you're going to wash again, then you're going to say hamoitzi, then eat this, the other challah. It's a gorim brocha shena tzvicha. According to the Gemara, you could have had the fleshiks in the same meal with the milchiks. You didn't have to bench, you didn't have to wash until it's adam to say hamoitzi again. Could have covered everything in one meal. So that's a question that Malamed Lohoyl and others discuss. Is it permissible to break up the meal into two in order to avoid violation of this Zohar? The Zohar says you're not supposed to have milchiks and the fleshiks in the same meal. Is that called Garim Bracha Shein Tzvich? Because according to the Nigla, it wasn't really necessary. But according to the Nista, you should. So that's a question. That's a question, is that right? I remember one year, when we were first married, we didn't have any children yet, so we ate in the yeshiva. All the young couples ate in the yeshiva. So on Yantav in the morning, they only served milchiks. So I went, Rabbi Lifshitz, Zechon Lebrach, lived right down the block from the yeshiva. So I went to Rabbi Lifshitz and I asked him, was I yotze suras yantav? Do I have to go home and eat fleshiks? So he said, you sit down, he said in Yiddish, you sit down right now and I'm going to give you the fleshiks. So I sat down at home and he pulled out the fleshiks from the refrigerator. He made us eat the fleshiks there. Yeah. The Gemara has a machlokes in the first perek in Beitza, in between the first day yantav and the second day yantav, means on Sunday night, do you say havdalah or not? Our practice is we don't say Havdalah. But it's a machlokes in the Gemara. So Rashi interprets in the Gemara, what's the issue? You only say Havdalah when you're going down a level. So if the first day Yontav is Medina and the second day Yontav is only a Minig, then you're going down. But if the second day is Medina, so then it's not considered going down. Even though the first day is Menatar, the second day is Medirabbanan. But if they're both Medina, then it's not considered going down. So Rashi learned that was the Dion in the Gemara. Whether Yontav Shena Shel Golis is only a Minig, so that, if that's the case, you're going down from a real din to a minute, then you got to say Havdalah, even though they're both yantif. But if the second day is a chiyuv midirabbana, not just a minute, so they're both on the same level of chiyuv, then you don't say Havdalah. So our practice is that we don't say Havdalah. We clearly do not say Havdalah.
Don't we say that the second day is minig of it's going to be a day? Or is that just a
That's the machlokes. Taisus and Sukkah understood minig of it's going to be a means it's only a minig. And the Ran says, no, that was the letter that they sent from Eretz Yisrael. You should continue the practice of your ancestors, but it doesn't mean minik, like we call it a minik. The practice of your ancestors, and that letter was the Psak Medirabana. They sent the Psak Medirabana that you have to observe Yantav Sheni Shel Golias. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash says that there's a mitzvah in Torah to lain Parshas Maimon Hasinas. Zohar, how does it say? So he says you have to have, we lay three times a year. We lay on Parshas Yisro, on Parshas Vaschanan, and on Shavuos. We lay three times a year, the Maimon HaSinai story. But the Ramban holds that there's a chiyuv, perhaps once a year, every year, like Parshas Zohar. So once a year, every year, you have to lay in Parshas Maimon HaSinai. Our religion, the truth of our religion, is based on the fact that we had Shishim Ribo men, 600,000 men between the age of 20 and 60, it must have been 600,000 women. Also, the world is Machzah Schar Machzah Nekev, but then there were many people younger than 20. Some of us are over 60 also. I'm over 60. So there must have been many people over 60. Then there was Erev Rav, so there must have been around at least 2 million people were present witnessing all of the Esan Makas with the Kriyas Yamsuf, with the Gilu Shechinas, the Kevin Yandvei, with the Maimon HaSinai, they witness all of this. So these two events are the basis of our whole religion. We have historical tradition that these are the things that happen. We know that our religion is a true religion. All the other Rabbi Avodah Zarah, they claim that all of the miracles that Yoshka did were witnessed by a few disciples who were there. But there's no other religion that claims that they had 2 million people watching everything with historical tradition. I knew my four grandparents. I knew that they were serious people. They knew their parents and their grandparents. I knew that they were serious people. So sometimes they would tell over, their parents would tell them a Baba Maisa, and they'd tell them there's a Baba Maisa. And sometimes they told them the thing and they said, and this is true. This is not a Baba Maisa. This is a fact. So our ancestors told us that they heard. There were Shishim Ribo people with younger and older, and they were around the 2 million people, witnessed the Tzias Mitzrayim and Maim HaSin. So that's a mitzvah every year, to tell over Tzipi Tzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night, and every day to say the kids of Zechiris Tzias Mitzrayim, and at least once a year, every year, to tell over about Maim HaSin. This is the basis of our whole religion. That's how we know that everything is true. And the Rabban Shel Olam gave an Har Sinai Toro Soy in the plural. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Shtei Torahs, Torah Shebichzav, as well as Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebal Peh, that's called Matan Torah. The Rebbe Shlom gave a Matana to the Jewish people, Matan Torah. What do we mean Matan Torah? We are the Balabatim now. And whenever a Shaila comes up, so the Gemara has a tradition, Lo Bashamayim Hi. The Rebbe Shlom is not going to send a Novi. And if a person comes and he says, I got a Nevuah that the din is like this, so the Rambam says, B'yaduah that is a Novi Asheker. No such thing as a Nevuah and a din. Nevuah is on a Hayroa Shoah. So the Jewish people were given over the Torah that we have to paskin all the shailas. That's called Matan Torah. The Gemara tells the story that there was a shaila, a machlekes among the chachamim, what the din is. Then there was a machlekes, the Bezin Shalmaila said one way, and the Rabban Shalom said the other way. And then the Bezin paskin against the Rabban Shalom. The Rama paskins against the Rabban Shalom. Because that's also Lo Bashamayim. The Torah was given to the Jewish people, so the Rabbanim of the Jewish people have to paskin all of the shailas. We assume that the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem, there's a Rambam in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayis, has a machlekes with the Ge'onim. What are the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem all about? So the Ge'onim took literally the Maimah that appears in many Midrashim. Kol Masha Talmud Vasa Gosa L'chadish Nemol Ala Moshe Messina. Every single din that it says in the Mishnah Berurah, every single din that it says in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch was told to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. So they understand that literally every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. I said, what do you need the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem for? What is that all about? That's just to check to make sure that your tradition is correct. But every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Midas are not a way that in every generation they can be Mechadish a new din Yesh Me'ayim. No, that's to check to make sure that their tradition is correct. The Rambam says that that's scandalous to assume like that, because on every page in the Gemara there's a Machloikas. So they forgot everything. Everything was a tradition. They forgot every single din. Ruba the Ruba of the din, they forgot. So he said, that's scandalous to say that every machlekes is based on forgetfulness. Every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, certain dinim are told to Moshe Rabbeinu, then there's no room for any machlekes on that. Whatever's halacha Moshe Messina, I say, you're not going to have a machlekes on it. And the machlekes was, you have the right to darshan the dinim on your own. You don't have to have a tradition on every single din. We know what the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem are, and we darshan on our own. So that's why the Rama calls all of these dinim that are developed by the Chachamim in the later generation, calls them Divrei Sofrim. The rabbis were mechadish these dinim. That's the generally accepted opinion, like the Rama, not like the Goyim. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch had a student who later on grew up to be a Gratz, the one who wrote the history books, and he denies the authenticity of the Torah Shebal Peh. He claims that the Torah Shebal Peh with the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem, everything was invented by Hillel and Shammai, and there never was such a thing before. And the Rabbi Hirsch, in attacking him, much of what Rabbi Hirsch wrote is an attack against the Gratz. When he attacks him, so he goes to the opposite extreme, says no, and he follows the Shittas HaGadim. Every single din was a Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem was just a way to check that your tradition is correct. That's not the generally accepted opinion. We usually seem like the Rambam, that the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem, the Chachamim in every generation, can be mechadish the way they understand. And in fact, there's even a Machlokes Achronim, the Chido has a sefer Simchas HaRegel. It's a commentary on Megillas Rus. So he discusses the din of Moyavi v'lo Moaviyah, that Moni Moyavi who convert and not allowed to marry a Jewish girl only applies to male Moavi, doesn't apply to a female Moavi. Rusa Moavi get married to a regular Jew. So he quotes a Machlokes HaRishonim, was that a halacha Moshe Mesinai? Or was that a din that they darshan at that time? Then on the assumption that it's a din, they darshan at that time, so then he quotes a Machlokes HaRishonim, when a Bezdin and a later generation darshan's a new din, based on the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpem, do we say that it's a Gloy Milson HaMafreh, this was always the din since the days of Maimon HaSinai, Torah was given HaSinai, or should we assume no? When the Bezdin is Mechadosh HaDin, the din is only Noyig Mekan Al HaBoh. It's not Noyig, Mamash HaChidosh. The din is the bezin is mechadish a din. It's only noig b'kana labon. They quote from the Chazon Ish like that. The Chazon Ish taught that way, that when the bezin is mechadish a din, the din only applies b'kana labon. It's not that it's a glorious Muslim affair that from the time of Maimon HaSinai that was always the din. And then they quote from the Chazon Ish that they once asked him pshat and Arashi in the beginning of Koheles. It says Masha Hayu Hu Masha Yiyah, history repeats itself, whatever happened in the past, that's going to happen in the future. Enko Chodesh Tachas Hashem, nothing new under the sun. That's the Pasha Pshat, nothing new under the sun. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash on Koheles, that's not what the Pasuk means. The Shemesh is referring to the Torah, because the Torah gives illumination. Enko Chodesh Tachas Hashem, outside of the field of Liman HaTorah, there's no Chidush. Everything stays the same, only in learning there are Chidush. Only learning the Erechidushim. So they asked the Chazon Ish, what do you mean? Fax machines and airplanes and everything, they keep on coming up with new things, apps, a smartphone, all these things. In Gemara, it's the same Gemara Chulin. They print the same Gemara year after year after year, the same Tanakh, the same text, everything the same. When you take chemistry in college, every year you have to have a new textbook because they changed everything. Physics, chemistry, mathematics, every year they keep on changing everything. You need a new textbook, you can't use the old one. And in Gemara, they always use the same Gemara. So what do you mean? They're only Chiddush in Torah. Faket, the Chiddush is all the other things. So the Chazon Ish explained all the things that they invented, the smartphone with the airplanes, with the fax machines and everything, with the emails. If Adam Arishan would have known all this, he could have made all these from day number one. He didn't know the whole Bria. Nothing changed in the Bria. Everything is there, potentially. He could have made all of these things, all the surgeries and everything, all the advances. If they would have known all the secrets of the Bria, could have had it from day number one. But in learning, it's not so. In learning, when the Bezin is Mechadosh HaDin, it's only Noi B'Kanal HaBoh. He thought that that's the Medrash, that's the Kavan of the Medrash. Ein Kol Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh, outside of the area of Shemesh, outside of the area of learning, there's no Chidushim. Everything is based on physics and chemistry and biology. It was always the same. From Sheshes Mei Bereshit, there are new applications, but everything is based on the rules and regulations from Sheshes Mei Bereshit. But in learning, it's not so. When a Bezdin in a later generation comes up with a new idea, the din is only knowing, Mekan Alabo, that's called Matan Torah. The Rabbanu Shalom, he says, Shavuot, says, Man Matan Torah, Seinu. Rabbanu Shalom gave us the Torah, and we have Balabatim to do what we want. So that's what, this is Sefer Dor Revi on Maseches Chulin. Dor Revi was, he was the first great-grandchild of the Chasam Sefer to carry the name Moshe. Chasam Sefer's name was Moshe Sefer. So he was the first one, there were many others now, he was a Rabbi in Klosenberg. He was not the Rebbe, he was a Klosenberger Rabbi. So he wrote a very fascinating sefer, eye-opening sefer on Chulin, very open, very open. He disagrees with Taisa. He's not embarrassed to say it's a shver Taisa, shver a Rambam, and he gives his own pshat, very interesting. And he has a fascinating hakdama. His hakdama is really hakdama to all of Torah Shebal Peh. So he talks a lot about this, about the koyach of the bezin to be mechadish in every generation. That's the matan Torah. The Baruch Shalom gave us the Torah, and we are the balabatim. So the Gemara has a famous agarata. Baruch Shalom offered the Torah to all the different nations of the world. They all turned it down, and they asked, "What does it say?" It says, "Laisivzol." No, it's not for us. It says, "Laisirif." It's not for us. It says, "Laisirzol." It's not for us. So they all turned it down. So everybody asked the kash, "What do you mean, Laisivzol, Laisirif, and Laisignov is from the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach? What does it help the turning down the Torah? They have to observe that anyway." So he has an interpretation there. he says the Rabban Shalom wanted to give Matan Torah to the Yom HaSoyim, that they'll be the Balabatim to interpret the Torah. So they said, Rabban Shalom, it's not a smart idea. We have an atiyah to violate this. And if you're going to give us the bailus on the Torah, we're going to pshat l'arayin, we're going to reinterpret everything, that it's going to come out not the way you want. It's not a smart. You better not give us the Torah. Yes, they'll reinterpret everything. So the Rabban Shalom gave the Torah to the Jewish people. He knows that we're normal people. We're not going to reinterpret. We're going to interpret in the Ruach that he wants us to. Everyone should enjoy the Yom Tov. Should be mekabel the Torah properly on Shavuot.
Any chiyuvim?
See you, I'm with the Yom Tov.